Welcome to Creative Conversations. I'm Roger Humphrey. In this episode, I'm pleased to welcome from the Vegas String Quartet, first violinist Emily Smith and second violinist Jessica Wu. We talk about their history, their residency at Emory University, their concerts with bluegrass greats Mark and Maggie O'Connor, and much more. Before we begin, please hit the like and subscribe buttons. It's a free and easy thing to do, and you'll feel really good about yourself. And we're here with two of the members of the Vegas String Quartet. We got Emily Smith and Jessica Wu, violinists both. Thank you for taking the time to come on the program. I really appreciate this.
Well, thank you for having us, Roger.
So, yeah, this will be fun, I hope. As I was explaining a moment ago to you, I've not done two people at the same time before. So this will be, like I said, I'll be a little clumsy at it, but I'll do my best. So, well, can you, to get started here, if you could, can you just kind of bring me up to date? How did the quartet get its beginnings? Give us a brief history of who you are.
Well, the quartet is a pretty long history, actually. I don't know if 30 minutes is enough.
Okay.
But we'll try to kind of, you know, summarize it. The quartet right now is in residence at Emory University.
Uh-huh.
And we started the residency, actually, in 2006.
Okay.
So next year, actually, is our 20th anniversary at Emory University.
That's wonderful. Congratulations in advance. That's wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah, and then the quartet actually originally was founded in Shanghai, China, because originally there are four Chinese members, and we all are from the conservatory. We all went to the conservatory when we were students. So that's where the quartet was originally founded. I guess I'm the only founding member left, maybe. We were kids. I was 13 years old.
Oh, my.
And yeah, so the country was kind of opening up right after the Cultural Revolution. So the conservatory, and then they wanted to form a string quartet and a piano trio to send out to do competitions. So that's how the quartet was formed. And then we all kind of came here and then to pursue our studies, you know, further our studies. And then we kind of reunited together, and then, you know, I guess reunited, maybe the quartet, you can count it in 1996.
Okay.
Yeah, in America, yeah. But the quartet was founded maybe 1987.
Oh my. Oh
long
my.
History, yes.
and you are the last founding member of the group. So the group's been together a while. So one of the things that I noticed, well, Emily, I should ask you, when you joined, what was that like, joining this quartet?
Yeah, so I joined about 3 years ago. I had been, you know, just playing concerts, freelancing in the New York area for, gosh, maybe about 12 years. Since I was at Juilliard as a student, I stayed in New York playing concerts. Chamber music has always been the thing that I love to do the most. I grew up playing chamber music. You know, 90%, 80-90% of what the freelance concerts I was doing, in addition to chamber orchestra, the nights that I'm a member of, was chamber music, in addition to some, you know, various solo things, but mostly chamber music. And that's really what I love to do. And so the opportunity to join a string quartet, which of course is the pinnacle of chamber music, and
yes,
then to find quartet with this incredible residency, which I also love to teach. So it was just the perfect combination for me, and I'm so happy to be here.
How did the residency at Emory begin? How did that come about?
It's from Dr. William Ransom, actually, because he started the Emory Chamber Music Society at Atlanta. And we got to know him because we first went to a school in Florida, and the director of the school was his sister, Kate Ransom, who was also a string quartet player. She was a member of the Alexander String Quartet.
Okay.
So she's been really supportive of our quartet and really encouraged us to pursue this career, really saw the potential in us. And that's where we met Will. And then Will always had this vision, you know, to bring a quartet to Emory and to Atlanta and then have this quartet in residency. And then we got support from Cherry Emerson, who has a lot of ties to Emory University. And he gave the funding. And we actually, during 2003 and 04, we were the first visiting artist. So, and we came six times, I think, during that whole year, did Beethoven cycle,
Wow.
and then did all kinds of outreaches and work with students. You know, every time we come here, we study for a week to 10 days and then play the concert and then did a lot of outreaches and work with students. And then he saw really a lot of potential of that. And so we decided to move from New York to Atlanta in 05. And we actually really started the residency in 06 with Cherry Emerson's gift. It was a 3-year pilot program that he gave the funding. And unfortunately, he passed away a year and a half into the residency. So, and then we worked really hard and we were able to raise more funds for the residency. So we've been here ever since.
That's wonderful. I in preparation for this, of course, I went on YouTube to listen to you guys play. What a treat. What a treat.
Thank you.
I share your love of chamber music in general. I'm a guitar guy. But and I've played my share of gigs and solo recitals and such. But my favorite playing has always been in a chamber setting. I worked with a flutist for nearly 25 years.
Oh, wow.
And a guitar flute is it's as natural a combination as a string quartet or a piano trio. I mean, it's just. And so, and speaking of guitar, you guys are doing or have done a project with Elliot Fisk, is that correct? Did I read
Yeah, a
that
few
right?
times. We've played with him a few
He's one of my
times.
favorite players. I've never met him, but he's one of my favorite players. Well, what a
Oh,
wonderful
he's yeah.
player.
I know he's fantastic. Yeah, what a personality and what a player.
Okay. But yeah, so he yeah, he's one. What did you guys do together? Do you recall?
I remember really clearly we played some arrangements, but there's also this Haydn string quartet really early. He did all these kind of arrangements for guitar and then the three strings. So
Okay.
it was really early Haydn quartets, like maybe Opus 2, one
Oh,
of the
wow.
Opus 2. Yeah, it's really beautiful that
I'll
we
have
did.
to check it. I'll have to definitely check that out for sure. So,
Yeah, he even gave us music. I remember it was like handwritten music, like hard to read.
oh,
Those were pre-iPad days, you know.
old school.
Old school, very much. Yeah.
Well, the thing that when I was listening to you play, the thing that really struck me is how effortless you make it look. And I know it's not. But I don't know how to say this. A lot of groups, musicians, it's almost like they're really pushing and really pulling and really just. And what I saw with you, in your group was just an ease of playing that allowed the music to shine through. I used to tell my students, my performance majors, that the second best compliment that you can get. Is when somebody tells you that you're a really good player. And the best compliment you could get is they really love the music. That means that your technique is so good that it disappeared and that what comes through is the music. And that's what I felt when I was listening to you play, was that I know that takes a lot of work to make it look that easy.
Oh, thank you so much. Actually, you know, I'm glad that you say that because it's kind of like our goal, because we always talk about, you know, being in a quartet. Of course, we love this repertoire, you know, but we always consider ourselves as the bridge, you know, between the composers and the audience, you know. So we just really consider us, you know, our job is to really convey. Of course, you do all the research, you do all the work. I mean, if when you're successful, people feel like, oh, I, you know, really get what Beethoven is saying or somebody, you know, composer is saying, not just being all of you know. I mean, at least for me personally, I consider that a success.
So there's kind of a a marriage between the performer and the composer, and you get this other voice that comes out, I think.
Absolutely.
It was just wonderful. I listened to Beethoven, Brahms, and Mozart, and I love them all. And you did them
We
all
do.
very well. Well, you know, and it shows when you love the music like that. There's just something very nice about it. So it was lovely performances, and I will definitely put some links up when I post this. There'll be some links up there, so
Thank you.
that'll be really nice, as well as links to your site. So, you also, I mean, you guys, Emily, you mentioned teaching. You enjoyed teaching a lot. So is that college teaching, or is it all ages, all groups? What?
As part of our residency at Emory, we teach, private instrumental lessons, violin, viola, cello. We teach chamber music. We do orchestra sectionals. And in addition to that, one of the really unique parts of our residency is 8 times a semester we visit non-music classes and actually give a one-time performance slash lecture about whatever the subject of the day is. It's fascinating for us. It's so cool to get to interact with the greater community of Emory, and also find, it doesn't matter what the subject is, there's always a way to link it. And normally, of course, the professor has some idea of how they
Sure,
want us
sure.
to relate. But it's really fascinating, and it's also very fulfilling for us because, usually a couple students in the class have been to a string quartet performance, sometimes none of them, but surely none of them have sat 5 feet away from a string quartet,
That's a different
performance.
experience.
So for us, both to relate, show how universal music is and how it can relate to anything. And then, as I said, also just to connect with the greater student body at Emory is really a very cool part of our residency. But I have to say, I also love teaching private lessons, and it's fascinating to me, and I love helping each student, try to reach his or her potential. It's just
Now,
that's also
do you
very fulfilling.
have are these college students that you're working with
So
privately?
those are so yes, at Emory we each have our own private studio of college students. We also, Jessica can speak more about this, but for how many years have you done the youth program since the beginning?
Ever since we moved here, actually, that's one thing we wanted to do. We also run a youth chamber music program for local middle school, high schoolers. So, it runs, we have coachings with them on weekends, and then we have master class, and we'll put on a concert each semester.
Wow.
We really enjoy that because, like I said, the quartet, when we formed the quartet back in Shanghai, I was in middle school, I was 13 years old. And then you basically play with your friends. And then we just really had a lot of fun. And then we just really want, and then there's a lot of actually youth orchestra programs in town, but not so many chamber music program in town. And then through chamber music, we see it for the kids, it's really the best way for them to kind of, learn how to be independent, and then how to just be like even just respect each other, how to work together, because
Sure.
leaders and also be contribute team players at the same time. Because it's very different from playing in orchestra. So we really enjoy doing that. It's been almost 20 years ever since we moved here.
I've enjoyed teaching children my whole life. I've made a career of starting with very young children and working with people all the way into their adulthood, of course, as well as college and such. So I've had that broad spectrum. And working with young children, it's a challenge at times, but boy, it is
Oh,
so fun.
absolutely.
Oh, it is so fun. And they can be funny, and but they're dil most a lot of them are very diligent about practicing and playing well for you, and it's just a treat. And I remember talking to somebody recently. I remember many, many years ago, I had a young student who was about 7. maybe 8 years old. And at that age, I would actually have the parents come in with them, so that they know what the kids are working on, and help settle things down, so I don't have to worry about, discipline issues and things like that, which is rare actually. But I remember this one little girl, about 7 years old, like little girl. Anyway, she was playing a Renaissance piece. It's fairly simple, but little Renaissance piece, and she was just tearing it up, just getting right to it. And I looked at her father, who's a big, beefy brute of a guy, and he had a tear the size of your thumbnail just kind of rolling down his cheek from watching his little girl play. And I thought, okay, gotcha. And so that's a life well lived right there, just being able to have a story like that. So I'm very,
Absolutely.
very grateful for that kind of thing. So now, one of the things I'm going to your website, you haven't recorded a lot. Is that intentional or just sort of worked out that way, or
You mean in terms of like albums or
yes. I'm sorry, I should have been a little more explicit.
Yeah, I mean, we actually did a lot of recordings, but because we had many member changes, so we're not putting some of the albums from before on the website. So
I see.
on the website is just mainly more recent ones.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
I
because
see.
we've done like with Nexus, we have some albums there,
Okay.
and then we produced a few recordings, albums on our own, but those are just not on the website. But
Okay. Well, thanks for clearing that up. I'll know where to look. I can go to Naxos and find you.
yeah, I mean, we if you need, I can send you. Yeah, we also did the with Andres Cardenas with the chanson for a quartet, and then there's some other recordings out there, but we're just not linking them on the website. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
So the
So
member, yeah.
now, do you commission new works as well as play the traditional repertoire? Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. We just two is it 2 weeks ago now? It's we've been so busy again. Weeks ago, right?
Not even
Not even
week
two
and
weeks
2 days
ago.
ago.
Yeah, we just premiered a piece of viola quintet by Paul Colletti at Emory.
Oh.
Yeah, and then that was for kind of like a celebration for our original violist, Yinzi Kong. She retired last year,
Right.
so we'll run some with the society, and also Yinzi is his wife, and then he wanted to celebrate this long journey we all had together,
How lovely.
so he commissioned a viola quintet, so we all played together. Yeah, that was really, really, really nice. Yeah,
Yeah,
and we have
that's.
actually three new commissions, at least maybe four, coming up in the next season.
Oh, boy.
Two that we're doing in May, and then we're actually collaborating with this PBS program where they record new compositions in various buildings in different cities. And so we have two new commissions there, and then we also have another commission. We're doing a premiere next season as part of our 20th anniversary season. So and then another one possibly that I can't speak about yet. So we have a lot of stuff
That's
coming up.
wonderful. I think that a lot of people don't when they a lot of people who don't follow classical music don't realize how much new stuff is being written and performed, and so I always try to get that in there whenever I can, so it's new chamber works and new symphonies and new operas constantly and such. So how did the pandemic, what kind of a hiccup was that in the general timeline?
Well, I guess it was hard for everybody, yeah. But we were, I don't know, for me, I think we were very fortunate to have this residency. First of all, we still had a job, at Emory, not like all the other just performing artists, because well, no
Like
concert
me.
in the
I
end,
was
right?
out of a
So,
job for
yeah,
I
oh.
know, right? So, because there are no concerts, and then so, thankfully, we were still teaching, Zoom, of course. with all the Emory students. And then the other thing is we were actually still able to play some concerts, you know, with the live streaming
Oh.
out of Emory, because that was in the middle of our second Beethoven cycle, because we were doing a Beethoven cycle that year.
Okay.
So we did half of it in the fall of 2019. So we were gonna finish it 2020. And then, you know, it happened and they couldn't do it. Everything stopped. So started in the fall of 2020 when everybody kind of, you know, trying to figure out a way to present still some live music, but with, you know, live streaming and all that. So we were able at Emory, we're able to, you know, kind of get all the equipments together and then figure out a way to do it. So we were able to finish the Beethoven cycle and then put on some other concerts. Yeah, it was a strange experience. You know, I remember because the university had rules, you cannot be sitting closer than like 6 feet. So we
Right.
have to be 6 feet apart. So, and then we were like, let's try it. We don't say no yet because we don't even know as a quartet if you sit 6 feet apart, can we even hear, you know, with masks and everything?
Right.
So we had
That's
to
the
try
other
that.
thing. As musicians know, the mask completely changes
Oh, it
how it
really changes your
sounds.
hearing, and you know, you can't really see each other very well.
Yeah,
Facial experience.
riding up on your nose, on your
Right.
eyes.
Oh my God. I know. And so we tried, and then we were able to hear each other. It took a while to get used to it. So, and then we just, you know, like we gotta do it, you know, we have to play, you know. So yeah, that was really challenging, but interesting. And then, but I'm
Kind of
glad that
adapt and
we did it. Yeah.
overcome. So,
Yeah. And I remember after the pandemic, that when we finally could take off masks and then we could finally sit back close together, it was just so wonderful, you know. And really here.
We were all wearing masks when I auditioned for the quartet,
Yes.
right?
Yeah.
Crazy. And in our concert photo from my audition, we were all wearing masks, right?
Yeah, and that's another crazy part because during the pandemic, our first violin before Emily moved back to New York, left the quartet. And then so we didn't have a first violin, you know, for half a year or year, maybe. Yeah. So we had all kinds of guest first violin. And then finally, Emily came and then did the audition. So, and we put the program all together in like 3 days.
Yeah.
It was really
Speaking
crazy.
of which, we
Right.
played Mark O'Connor's string
Yeah,
quartet this
that was
same
the first time.
lineup. Yeah.
Yeah, that was
That
the
was the
Mark
first time with
O'Connor.
that. So now you've got that thing coming up with Mark and Maggie O'Connor at Carnegie Hall. How did that come about?
That was, I think, the idea at first. I'm not sure whose idea was it, but it was presented by the Emory Chamber Music Society. You know, Will Ransom that got all of us together had this idea of Beethoven and bluegrass. And then Mark, you know, being such a great musician and composer, he wrote, he has two string quartets, right? I think. So this is his second string quartet. It was just a really wonderful and a challenging piece. So, and then the idea was just to kind of put the old and new together, you know, and also the two really different genres, kind of they can really be so nicely and seamlessly blended together, you know, through his
I was going to
composition.
say, that's got to be a little tricky to, because
Very challenging for us. Yeah, really
to.
complex. And also we all had to learn a lot of like new techniques in the bluegrass fiddling, you know, area. So yeah, he was really helpful, and
Well,
his
I
wife
was going to say,
was
if somebody asked me to play blues on my guitar, I'd be miserable at it.
really
The tech doesn't matter that you know where all the notes are. All the techniques
helpful.
have changed, and the voicing changes, and everything.
Yeah, but he was very clear as a composer. He, you know, the notation, everything, he was able to put everything like on paper. Put
Wow.
it down, yeah. So to us explaining it, it's very clear. You know, nothing is confusing or anything. It's just different techniques we had to kind of learn. You know.
So the program is it bluegrass and Beethoven, or is it Mark's quartet, or what are you playing for that particular?
Yeah. So we open the program with Beethoven's Opus 95 string quartet,
All right.
and then as Jessica mentioned, we play his second string quartet. A
Okay.
couple movements, and then there's intermission. And then Mark and Maggie do a duo set. They, you know, travel around the travel of the world,
Right.
playing as a duo, just the two of them. They do violin duos. Maggie sings. She has a gorgeous voice. Mark plays all various different instruments, guitar, mandolin, everything. Then we come together at the end to do one of Mark's pieces all together
Oh,
to end the
cool.
program.
That's what a wonderful way to finish the program. So you're doing this at Carnegie Hall. What's the date? I'm sorry, I forget.
April
That
25th, yeah. The
I'm sorry, say
25th.
again.
April 25th.
April 25th. Okay, thank you. Now, is there any plans, or are there any plans, I should say, to repeat the program at other times and other locations?
So we've done it a few times. We actually just did it on Saturday night,
Oh.
in Charleston, South Carolina, to
Charlotte, yeah.
I'm sorry, Charlotte. So, North Carolina.
North Carolina.
I'm a new mom. I have a 6.5 month old upstairs, and so I have no
So
I
you haven't slept in a year.
my brain is working at about maybe 50% capacity, so forgive me. But it was Saturday night that we did the program in Charlotte. And it was to celebrate the reopening of the Carolina Theater, which is this beautiful old theater that they just renovated. So we just did it a couple days ago. And then we also did it in Florida a year and a half ago.
Year and a half ago,
And then we'll see if we'll do
So
it again, but we've done it a few times.
we are fortunate that we get to perform in some beautiful locales. It's what terrible job. So anyway, that just sounds really, really, really lovely. So I need to touch real quick. Well, we did a little bit. Are you guys touring much? Do you get out on road much?
And a little more now, things are kind of coming back a little bit more. We have some concerts this year. We've started in Florida and we've been to Mexico already, and then we're going to Alaska,
North
New
Carolina
York,
also
North
in
Carolina.
January, New York. We're going to Alaska.
That'll be fun. Bundle up. It won't be too bad. So that's gonna be wonderful. Well, believe it or not, we are all out of time. And I am so grateful that you took some time to hang out with me this afternoon and talk about you and your stuff. And I'm just really excited to hear more of it. So thank
Well, thank you
you,
so much.
and I'll say goodbye now.
Thank you so
Bye-bye.
much.
Thank you
Good
so
to
much.
talk to
Bye-bye.
you.
Bye.
Bye.
I want to thank Emily and Jessica for taking the time to hang out with me. And I want to thank you too. Your support really means a lot. A quick reminder that I also write a blog to update everybody about my guests. You can find it at www.rogerhumphrey.com. And don't forget to invite your friends to check out the many episodes of Creative Conversations with Roger Humphrey.